God blesses obedience. And walking in His will is a step-by-step continuing act of obedience to God. And He will bless you in ways that you won't fully know you get to heaven. He'll bless you in ways that will absolutely surprise you. He will bless you in ways that you've never expected or anticipated.
Today on In Touch, obedience always brings blessing.
And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying,
Toda potestad me es dada en el cielo y en la tierra.
Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit,
teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Whenever we hear someone use the word always, we have a little tendency to sort of think, always? Because there are not many things that fall into the category of always. And if I should ask you, what do you say always? What do you do always? Where do you go always? For the simple reason that always means perpetual, unending, at same time, same place. In other words, always is one of those words we sort of casually use and sort of throw it around. Well, I always think so-and-so. No, we don't, because we are all human. And when you think about, there are not many things about which we can say always. Now, the only person who can really say always without a question is God. When God always anything, we know that He's omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, that He has all knowledge about all things, and that He doesn't change His mind, that He's consistent about everything. But not any of us has the power to be that consistent about anything. And so when you use the word always, think about what that really means. And somebody says, well, you know, now I always, no. If you think about it, we're not always the same, and so we don't always think the same way. And so we have to use that word very cautiously. Well, I want you to turn, if you will, to the 24th Psalm. And what I want to talk about in this message is I want to talk about simply this truth. And that is, obedience always brings blessing. They say, yeah, but now wait a minute. I can tell you about some things in my life that were not a blessing. So I'll tell you what. Why don't you, before you conclude that, just give me about 45 minutes and let's talk about it and see what does the Bible really teach about blessing. And in this 24th Psalm, I just want one verse primarily, but let's read these first five verses. The earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. For He has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? And who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood and has not sworn deceitfully. He shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Now, the question first that I want to answer is this, what do we mean by a blessing? So I put it on the screen here, and I want you to just take a note of it. Anything that falls in the category of an expression of God's goodness and love toward us is a blessing. Now, that includes a lot of things that most people wouldn't include. It does not include some things maybe some folks would. But listen, anything that falls in the category of an expression of God's love and goodness to us is indeed a blessing. So what I'd like to do is I'd like for us to look at the fact in the Scripture that the Scripture bears testimony and witness of the fact that obedience always brings a blessing. So before you conclude that, well, not in my life, just listen carefully. Let's go back and start in the Old Testament with Noah, for example. God commanded Noah to do something that was totally out of reason. He wanted him to build this big, huge boat that we call an ark. But he obeyed God, and God blessed him in what way? He saved his family from the flood. Abraham, for example, God spoke to him and said, I want you to get up out of your country, leave your family, your relationships, and go into a land that I will show you. Well, where is that? He showed him a step at a time where he was going. Well, he could have had lots of reasons to say, leave my family, leave everything that I know, and go to somewhere I don't know, and you're going to lead me as I go. Yes. He obeyed God. Abraham became the father of the whole nation of Israel, and how we've been blessed, through whom the Messiah came. Then, of course, there was Moses. And God spoke to Moses one day and told him he wanted him to go back to Egypt, go down to Pharaoh, and tell Pharaoh simply this, let my people go. Totally ridiculous. First of all, he'd fled from Egypt because he killed an Egyptian soldier. And now he's being told to go back, and especially to speak to Pharaoh, who has all power in Egypt, and just simply to make the statement, God said, let my people go. First of all, who's your God? So totally unreasonable. But Moses did exactly what God told him to do. Was it easy? No, it wasn't easy. Was there strife and conflict? Yes, there was. Did he cause other people difficulty because he did what God said? Yes, he did. They just heaped up more labor on the Hebrews. And so he obeyed God, and God used him to set free a whole race of people, a whole nation of people, through whom the Messiah came and through whom the world has been blessed. But it wasn't easy. But he obeyed God, and God blessed him in the process. Then I think about Joshua, for example, and a little different story. Joshua was a general for Moses, and there came a time when he had to take over Moses' place because Moses died. And so one day God said to him, as he was crossing the Jordan and coming to Jericho, which was a very, very well defended city, he said, I want you to forget all of your military strategy. You've been a famous general. You've led my people through all kinds of battles. But now I want you to forget all that. I have a different kind of strategy, and here's what I want you to do. You see how shut up Jericho is. Here's the way I want you to attack it. I want you to line up your military and the trumpeters, and I want you to march around it every single day for 7 days. Once a day for 6 days. On the seventh day, I want you to march around it 7 times and then run. Now, he didn't really say that, but they probably did that, of course. And so I'm sure Joshua would have said, now, this couldn't be of God. He'd fought too many battles. He knew exactly what to do and what not to do. And yet he did exactly what God told him to do, which was, again, totally unreasonable. The reason I keep saying that is because sometimes the things he tells us may appear to be very unreasonable. But he did exactly what God said, and you remember they marched around it once a day for 6 days, and then the seventh day they marched on it 7 times, blew the trumpets and shouted, and what happened? The wall came down. God honored his obedience. I think about David. David was God's chosen king for Israel, but at the present time, Saul was the king. And David had been running from Saul for years and years and years because he'd been trying to kill him. So on one occasion, Saul was in this cave. He didn't realize David was in there. David could have killed him, and immediately he would have become the king. God said, you don't do that. He did not kill him. Twice he had the privilege of killing him, but he didn't do it. He obeyed God, which must have been rather difficult to do, really. And David became the king when God was ready for him to be the king. I think also Jehoshaphat, for example. He was the king over Judah. 3 armies gathered together, and they gathered together to attack Judah. When Jehoshaphat heard about it, he threw out himself before the Lord on prayer, on his face before God, called an assembly to pray. And God raised up a prophet in that midst, and the prophet said, you're not to fight this battle. This is the Lord's battle. Now, again, those kings knew how to fight. They knew what a battle was about. They knew what their whole nation had to do to defend themselves. God said, no, you're to fight this battle the way I say. And what I'm telling you to do is line up your military, get everybody ready, and then send out your choir in front. And then when I tell you to march, you just start marching. But you're not going to have to fight this battle. That would have been very difficult for any king to do because totally, again, unreasonable. They started marching, and what happens? The scripture says God put total confusion in the minds of the enemy and didn't even have to fight the battle. Again, I think about Peter, for example. And this is a simple one. You remember when Jesus was on the shore preaching and everybody was crowding toward him, and finally he saw the boats and he said to Peter, would you let me borrow your boat and push me a little way so I can speak to everybody? So he did that. And then he said to Peter, Peter, let's go not fishing, let's go have a catch. Now everything about Peter said, you're a preacher, I'm the fisherman. You don't know a thing in the world about fishing. I know all about fishing. You fish at nighttime instead of Galilee. You don't fish in the daytime. So, again, it was totally unreasonable. But Peter obeyed him, and you know what happened to Peter. Not only did they get two boatloads of fish, Peter was called by Jesus to be an apostle, became a famous apostle, and the author of two of the epistles of the New Testament, and we're still talking about him. Then I think about, for example, the Apostle Paul. Been persecuting people for years and years. Hated everything about Christianity. Wanted to destroy the very idea of Jesus. And so God called him. And he struck him down the Damascus Road. And for a few days he was blind. Then God gave him a commission. And he sent him into the desert to reevaluate everything he had learned as a Hebrew Pharisee. All of his theology had to be changed for the simple reason the one he'd been the one he'd been persecuting for all those years now became the central focus of his whole theology. Everything about his life changed. God called him to become, listen, not only a preacher of the gospel, but especially to the Gentiles, which was a horrendous thing in the eyes of a Hebrew. He answered God's call. The world has never been the same since the Apostle Paul began to preach the gospel and to spread the gospel among those people and building churches, not church buildings, but bodies of people all throughout the Mediterranean world. He obeyed God. And did God bless him? Yes. You say, well, now, wait a minute. Didn't he spend a lot of time in jail? He sure did. Didn't they try to assassinate him? They sure did. Were they not always bringing up something in conflict? Was he not always arriving on the scene to face his enemies? Or if they weren't there, they finally arrived soon. How could he be blessed? Well, if you ask him sitting in a prison cell, writing the book of Philippians or Colossians or Ephesians, and Paul, are you being blessed? Yes. How could he be blessed in prison? And what I want you to see is this. In every one of these cases, God has blessed obedience. It is a principle of Scripture. It isn't just for biblical characters. It is just as true in your life and my life. When we obey God, God always blesses obedience without an exception. You say, all right, now you haven't heard my story. I'm going to talk about your story before you can tell me, because I know exactly what you're thinking. It may not be your exact personal situation, but it'll cover it. Because you see, God doesn't make any mistakes, and he doesn't claim anything he doesn't do. That is, when you and I, as his followers, obey him, he's going to bless us every single time. Now, some of you are saying, well, listen, I've been praying, and I've been doing thus and so, and I don't feel blessed at all. Well, I want you to listen carefully, because it just may be that you have overlooked something very important in your life. So the testimony of Scripture is, and we saw it in all these illustrations, that God will honor our obedience by blessing us. Now, the second thing I want you to notice is this. Those blessings may come in different forms. In fact, they will. It depends upon your situation, your circumstance. It depends upon what your path is, where God is leading you in life. And so when we think about the different forms in which he blesses us, think about it in this light. You're going through some situation in life that's a little difficult for you, and you obey God. And when you obey him, the Spirit of God gives you this awesome sense of peace. You have obeyed God. Therefore, he will assume responsibility for the outcome, for the situation that exists in your life, having placed all of that in his hands and trusting him for the outcome, you can leave all the circumstances to him. There is a sense of peace. For example, when you do what he asks you to do, maybe something very difficult, maybe not. But you do it. It's hard. Let's say it's difficult. But you do. And you have this overwhelming sense of joy. Where's that coming from? It's coming from a blessing from God. Part of his blessing is peace in some situations. Part of his blessing is joy. And that is, you have the joy in your heart, I did what he said. Have you ever had a situation that God required of you that was hard, and you just said, oh, I can't do that, and you prayed and told him why you couldn't, and you went through all this hem-hawing around with God, and finally you did? And what did you feel? Joy in your heart. I did what God told me to do. Lord, I didn't like it. I didn't want to do it. I was afraid to do it, but I did it. Yes. He blessed you with joy. And then, for example, you find yourself in some situation. He's challenging you, and obedience will be very difficult for you, and yet you obey him. There is a sense of awesome contentment. The anxiety is gone. The fight's over. Conflict's over. You did what he said, and you have this wonderful sense of satisfaction. You obeyed God. There are three blessings that I just mentioned that many people never think about being a blessing. Because you see, oftentimes our blessing only comes when we see a specific thing that we're expecting as a result of what we've done. But let me ask you a question. Suppose your desire is a large sum of money. Because your idea is, if I had a large sum of money, I'd be happy. I'd have all that peace and contentment I want. And so, you know, I'm just going to ask God to give me a large sum of money, then I'm just going to be happy serving him. So put it this way. Over on this side are these wonderful days of your life of peace and contentment and joy. Don't have a whole lot, but you have enough. On this side, there's lots of money. No peace, no joy, no contentment. Can't sleep at night, living on drugs. Which one of those would you choose? Wise men and women choose contentment and peace and joy and assurance that God gives. You see, all blessings don't come in a physical form. They come in all different forms, and everything I've mentioned is something that has to do with something emotional. Then, of course, your relationship with him improves when you obey him. Now, I know that there's some things that are easy that he requires of us, but some things are very difficult. You say, well, you don't know how difficult mine is. I may. But whether I do or not, it's not the issue. Somebody else does. And the truth is, all of these things that are difficult for us, when we obey him, he draws us into a relationship with him that has no equal when it comes to value and what that does in our life. An intimate relationship with him is the most valuable thing that you and I possess. Because remember this, out of this intimate relationship flows everything in your life. How you think, what you have, what you receive, how you walk, how you live out your life. It's that important. And I think about also the fact that when God challenges us to do something and we obey him, one thing that always happens, if we're listening to him and sensitive to him, is that our faith takes a leap. And how many times have we faced those things and we thought, there's no way that this is going to work, and yet you trusted him and God worked out something fantastic. Your faith grows. That is, you grow in your Christian life. Your courage increases for the simple reason, now next time he challenges you, you have a little bit more courage to do what he says do, because beforehand you had lots of fear. Well, maybe you're not fearing now, but you have some hesitation. And what happens? God blesses you by doing far more than you expect. So what's happening is spiritually you're growing. Now, one of those issues may be that you're asking for something material and he grants you exactly what you ask. Well, so we would identify that as a blessing. Well, here's what I asked God for. Here's what I trusted him for. And he blessed me with this. Well, let me ask you this. What about peace and joy and contentment? And the happiness and the assurance and the confidence and the courage and the growing and the intimacy with him. Are not all of those, is not each one of them also a blessing? Yes, it is. And sometimes we miss the enjoyment of God's blessings because we've labeled it as something else. Or in our minds, we only think of it as a blessing from God, as something specifically we've asked for. You may not get what you've asked for. There have been times that I've asked God for things He did not give me. But He gave me something that was more valuable to me, more precious, more satisfying than what I'd asked for. That's the kind of God He is. Listen, you cannot obey Him without being blessed. But what I want you to see, it isn't always the blessing, for example, that we would identify as a blessing, something material. And I think, in my own heart, that as you and I begin to understand what a real blessing is, then I'm becoming more sensitive to what He's doing that I don't see. Then I'm becoming more sensitive and more aware of God's work when I don't see Him doing something for me particular. But the blessings are there, and the awareness of His presence and of His involvement in our life. Then, of course, I think obedience always brings blessing, some of which comes later in life. That is, there are eternal blessings. And you know what the Bible says about one of these days we'll stand before Him and we'll receive our rewards. So I want to just take a couple of passages of Scripture of something real simple. And when I think about in Mark, this 9th chapter and the 41st verse, we think of rewards when we get to heaven for people we witnessed to or things we've done, how we've served Him, whatever it might be. Listen to this verse of Scripture. For whoever gives you, Jesus speaking, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because of your name as followers of Christ, truly I say to you, he will not lose his reward. Now, that's probably something that we don't really think about a lot, you know, doing little things for people. But in God's eyes, listen, Jesus said, you give a cup of cool water, shall we say, to someone who's thirsty. He says, you'll not lose your reward for that. Well, we might do that and think nothing of it. On the other hand, think about it this way. An act of kindness on our part, as the Spirit of God motivates you to do something for someone or give them something or treat them in some way, that is an act of obedience, and that does not go unseen or unregistered by God. But you may not ever see any blessing of it from here, but in heaven we will be. All of God's blessings are not promised in the here and now. Now, there's another passage of Scripture. In Luke chapter 6, Jesus speaking, He said, blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you, ostracize you, insult you, scorn your name as evil for the sake of the Son of Man. Be glad in that day when it's happening and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. Now, most people, I'm afraid, they want it now. In other words, the blessings that I'm looking for, I want them now. And the truth is, some of the greatest blessings and probably the greatest blessings that you and I will ever receive and reward is going to be when we stand before Him. So are you the kind of person who insists, that is, God, here's what I asked for, here's what I'm expecting, you don't do this, I don't think you've heard me, and I don't think I've been blessed. You will miss out on some of the best things God has to offer, because He doesn't think the way we think about these things. And so then when He doesn't do it our way, then we think, well, Lord, something's wrong here. It's not wrong at all. There's some blessings He has planned for us later, some rewards, but it is a blessing. Then, of course, there's the whole idea that obedience oftentimes brings hardship and suffering before the blessing. That is, there's some things God's going to require of us that are hard, that are difficult, and cause pain, suffering, hurt. And sometimes, as He said in this passage, the whole idea of persecution. Well, I think about that, and I think about these same biblical characters we've mentioned. God said, Moses, here's what I want you to do. And I'm sure Moses at least had some perspective in the fact that he was going to be rescuing the nation of Israel. Then, of course, just Hebrews. He did it, but it was very difficult. He suffered under Pharaoh's hand, scathing denunciation. And then when he got to the Red Sea, you know, some of them wanted to go back to Egypt, back to bondage. Then when he got across the Red Sea, they wanted to stone him to death. In other words, all through, and then of course, because of their sin, 40 long years they wandered around in the wilderness out of disobedience. Now, Moses had obeyed God, but look what he had to go through. And this is a big mistake I think many people make. Just because your life doesn't just tune up and everything is just easygoing and soft and, you know, you got sweet music and life is just the way you expect it, you think, well, God, now where are you? He's where he's always been. Remember what he said? I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Now, you say, well, if he's not going to leave me forsake me, why hasn't he done what I want him to do? Well, let me ask you this. Do you believe he's omniscient, all-knowing? Yes. You believe he loves you unconditionally? Yes. Do you believe he knows what's best for you? Well, yes. Sometimes we hesitate on that one. Well, then don't you think that what he's doing in your life just may be something that he knows is going to be awesomely blessing to you? Sometimes we don't see it that way. And so when I look at also at Paul and think about how God worked in his life and the difficulty and the hardship he had, you say, well, do you think Paul thought it was a blessing to go from one jailhouse to the other when he hadn't done anything to deserve it? Falsely accused, when he was stoned and dying in the city streets of Lystra, having been stoned, usually when they stoned you, you did die. But he didn't die. But you know what? What did Paul do? He thanked God for the privilege of suffering for Jesus Christ. He would have said, yes, I've been blessed today. I've been blessed in two ways. I've been blessed by being an object of opposition who stands for Jesus Christ. I've been blessed by being stoned and left for dead. And I've been blessed because God raised me up. And I've been blessed because I'm going to keep on doing what God's called me to do. He saw all of that, experienced all the pain, and knew that in the midst of all that, there was blessing for him. I think about him sitting in a Roman prison or one other prison, Caesarea, wherever it might be. And what kind of food did he have? Remember, he was just a prisoner. He was not the Apostle Paul prisoner. He was just a prisoner. And living in a prison with prison rations and being treated like a prisoner and penning these books of Colossians, Philippians, and Ephesians, three life-changing books that are just awesome. And they're short books, 4 chapters, 6 chapters. Well, how can you be blessed in a cold Roman prison? Only when you see it God's way. You see, God is blessing some of you, and you don't even think it's a blessing. Because if it's not sweet and lovely and gentle, and you've got everything you want, you don't think God's blessing you. He didn't have everything you wanted. But look what God did. He so worked in his life, he wrote the book of Ephesians, which is absolutely awesome. And the book of Colossians. And the book of Philippians. And God used him in the most difficult situations and circumstances of his life to be an awesome blessing. Did he feel it? Yes, I'll tell you why. Here's what he said to the end of his life. He said, I fought a good fight, and that was true because he had been fighting most of his life. He says, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. Do you think he would have said, even before he was getting ready to be beheaded, really been tough in the Christian life, spent a lot of time in jail, falsely accused me, tried to assassinate me, and had me mostly dead in the streets of Lystra, persecuted everywhere I went. It's been a terrible life. If he'd have thought like some of us think, that's what he'd have said. But he said, finished the course, kept the faith. He's done what God had called him to do, and he was supernaturally blessed. Do you realize that God is in the process of blessing you, and maybe you don't even realize it? Because you've been limited to something physical, and all these things are spiritual, and all these things are emotional. But this is truth. This is how he lived, and here's what happened. And then people today, for example, oftentimes we complain about things, and we forget all about the blessing. And every once in a while, we'll meet somebody who can't walk, can't see, can't hear. And this smile on their face, and this joy in their life, we think, oh, God, how can they? Because, you see, not being able to see, they see what you and I don't see. Not being able to hear, they hear what we don't hear. You see, the blessings of God are not limited to this life, and they're not limited to things that oftentimes we think are so very, very important. Now, somebody says, well, if I'm going through all this, how can God be blessing me when I'm going through and I'm hurting and feeling all this? What's God's purpose in this? If I could just see God's purpose in it, I might feel blessed. Well, let me give you one. Here's one of his purposes, and that is to bring us to the end of ourselves. You and I become the most useful when we are at the end of ourselves in absolute, total dependence upon God. Now, I would never wish any ill will, pain, hurt, sorrow, and loss on anybody. But there are many people in this country today who are going through great loss. Painful loss. They've lost their job. They've lost their home. They've lost their automobile. They're in a losing situation. Not of anything that they have necessarily done. If people in those situations and circumstances will respond, and listen, I'm not telling you I know how that feels. But I do know this. I've suffered enough stuff in my life to know that if I respond correctly, I may have to say, God, I don't understand it. I don't like it. I don't wish it this way. I need your help. Please, please change my circumstance. If that circumstance is what it takes to bring me to the very end of myself, and I have to absolutely, totally to begin to rely upon the Lord, then one of these days, soon, I'm going to look back and think, thank you, thank you, thank you, God, because when I came to the end of myself, that's when you began to bless me and to restore what I thought I'd lost. Sometimes it's to bring us to the end of ourselves. Sometimes his purpose is to prevent us from becoming prideful. And he takes things out of life that we worshiped. He takes it away. You say, well, how could that be a blessing? Listen to this. Would you not agree that any idol God takes out of your life and mine is a blessing? Oh, we think, in other words, we look at it as a loss, and God looks at it as a blessing. Because anything that causes us to stumble, anything that causes us to get off that path, is not good for us. And so we may feel like, well, Lord, you took this out of my life. Must have had a purpose. If you believe the scripture, you must have a purpose. But does he not say that he causes all things, not some, all things to work together for good? I may not like it. It may be painful. It may be hurtful. He's going to cause all things to work together for good to those who love him, to those who call according to his purpose. I may not see it. I may not feel it for the moment, but I know he's in it. If you can just grasp that, if you can just get a hold of that truth, this is where it came from. Romans 8:28, God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. That is, if you honor him and you obey him, he's going to turn every pain, every heartache into something good. It doesn't say in the scripture that he's got to remove this or remove that or remove the other. Why does he allow these things in our life? To give us a deeper understanding of who he is. To give us a deeper understanding of how he operates, how he works, what are his ways. And so, whereas I may not see it at the moment, if I'm growing in my spiritual life, I'm beginning to understand. And I think about it in my own life. I think about how excited I get every time I see God up to something that I can't figure out. I don't necessarily know why, but I know he's in it. And I know Romans 8:28 is still in the Bible because it's still in the heart of God. It's still in his mind that I know that somehow if I will respond correctly, I am getting ready to get blessed. And I may look at that situation and think it's going to be painful, difficult, hard to deal with. But Lord, if you're in it, and I know you are, I'm getting ready to be blessed. So you see, if we look at these things from God's perspective, it isn't that we are not blessed. We're not sensitive to the blessing because it's not my definition of what a blessing is. Remember what we read a few moments ago? That is, anything that falls in the category as an expression of God's love and goodness is a blessing to us. Then I think about this also, that when you and I are obedient to Him and He blesses us, He's going to bless others. When you and I are obedient to God, listen, we may think we keep it to ourselves, but other people watch how we respond. And as I've said before, and I've said again and again and again, you want to lay a foundation for your children. You want to give them a foundation that will take them through the most difficult, trying times of life, full of temptation, heartache, and worldliness, and lust, and all the things. You want to take them through that? Then build into their life very early, into their life very early, that God always blesses obedience. And listen, share with them what you're going through. Some parents say, well, I don't want my kids to see this. I know this because I don't want them to feel anything. They need to feel it. They need to see it because they need to see how you respond. They need to hear you talk about your relationship to God and how you're trusting Him and how you're depending upon Him and how you're expecting Him to bless you in the middle of all that. They need to hear that. And I can remember times when my family and I got around the table and I just lay out, here's what's going on, and we just need to cry out to God to show us what to do. What did it teach them? When they were going through situations, get on their knees, cry out to God, and watch Him work. And you see, some of these things become the greatest blessings of our life. But if you don't share them, then you keep it to yourself. Sometimes, in some situations, some people are going to get blessed. Watch this carefully. One of the reasons He allows us to go through these things is to demonstrate through you to other people how faithful He is to one of His children. Now, if that doesn't bless you, what does? That is, when you and I become living, walking examples of the grace and the mercy and the goodness of God and how God works, and we are living examples of that. Listen, think about this. The Apostle Paul counted it all joy in his heart to be an example for Christ. You can do the same thing. In other words, when you and I prove to be obedient to Him in difficult times, we become living examples of the work of God, of the hand of God. Listen, of the ways of God, how God brings us through these things. And so that circumstance, that situation, painful as difficult, well, it becomes a blessing. It becomes a blessing to other people. Then, and we could talk a lot about that, but just let me say this. Obedience always brings blessings. Now watch this one. Chosen by God. That is, obedience always brings blessings that are chosen by God, which simply means this. He may choose to bless us through our obedience in a way we wouldn't choose. In other words, He doesn't guarantee that if I want the blessing of more of this and more of that, of this relationship or that relationship, He doesn't guarantee I'm going to get that. But He certainly guarantees I'm going to be blessed when I respond correctly. So I would ask you today, what would God need to do in your life that you could conclude this? God just blessed me. What would He have to do? Would He have to give you something? Would He have to carry you somewhere? Would He have to give you somebody? Some material thing? What would He have to do in order to bring you to the point that you could say, yes, Lord, I do believe with all of my heart that You have blessed me because here's what's happened? Or could you say, Lord, in my pain, You're blessing me. In my loss, I see Your blessing. You're driving me to Yourself. You're drawing me to Yourself. You're sifting and sanding in me and cutting out the stuff in my life that I knew didn't belong that to begin with. Thank You, Father, but blessing me by pruning me and sanding me and sifting me and making me more like yourself. In all of this loss, all of this hurt, all of this pain, all this removal of my life, of these dead branches, thank you, dear God, for loving me enough to bless me with the removal of anything and everything in my life that keeps me from walking your pathway. Could you say that to him? If you can, then you understand what the true blessings of God are really all about. Not what I can necessarily touch or feel or see or possess, but what I can experience in understanding who he is. God has a pathway for you. It's your personal pathway. Nobody else can walk it but you. Nobody else's name's on it but yours. He doesn't expect anybody to join you in it necessarily. But it's your pathway. And if you will walk down the center of that road, that path, you will be blessed. God blesses obedience. And walking in his will is a step-by-step continuing act of obedience to God. And he will bless you in ways that you won't fully know till you get to heaven. He'll bless you in ways that will absolutely surprise you. He will bless you in ways that you never expected or anticipated. He'll bless you in ways that other people will have to tell you how you have blessed them and how they are blessed by you because of the way you've lived through a tough time in your life. There's only one path you have to follow, and that's the one he's laid out for you. And in that path and on that path, you'll be blessed every step of the way. And listen carefully. You may stumble. You may fall. You may creep over to the edge. You may even step out of the path. But God, because he loves you, is going to send you enough pain to get you back on the path. Why? So he can fulfill his purpose, bless others through you, work in your life in ways that would not happen any other way. And all he's looking for is for, listen, God is awaiting your yes. Yes, Lord. Remove from my life what you don't want. Yes, Lord. Show me how to be a blessing to others. Yes, Lord. I do understand that pain and suffering and heartache and difficulty is good for me. Yes, Lord. I'm grateful for the good things that I've asked you for that you provided. In other words, the truth is, are you willing to surrender your life so that you can enjoy his best? His best is what he offers. And in the middle of all that, there's one blessing after the other. It may be pain and blessing. It may be suffering and blessing. It may be joy and blessing. Whatever it is up to us to surrender ourselves to him in such a fashion he can grant to us the maximum of his blessing. You may not be a Christian. You say, well, how does that fit me? It won't work. You say, well, how do I change this? Here's what you do. You admit to God that you've been walking your own pathway. You've been in the ditch. You've been in the flood. You've been in the storm. In other words, it hadn't worked. You've just been sort of wobbling all over the place. Hadn't worked. You don't have any joy and peace and happiness and contentment, assurance and security about anything. You can change every bit of that in one simple statement of faith. Lord Jesus, I've sinned against you, don't deserve anything you give me, but I'm asking you to forgive me of my sins. And I'm taking your word as the truth that when you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross, when he died on the cross and he shed his blood, I don't fully understand it, Lord, but somehow you said the shedding of his blood paid my sin debt in full, which it did. And I'm asking you to forgive me of my sins, based on your promise to do so and the fact that he's paid for my sins at the cross. And the moment you're willing to ask him to do that, to forgive you of your sins and surrender your life to him, he will do that in that moment. You become one of his children. Now you step into this brand new pathway of life. You say, but I'm 60 years of age. You still have a path. You said, I've been out of the path for 60 years, but you just got saved. You remember what the Bible says about being born again? A new life and a new path and a new master and a new future. It's yours for the asking and believing. You have a path. And I want you to get that etched in your mind, because you have one. It's got your name all over it. And that pathway is the best way, the most profitable way, the happiest, most peaceful, contenting way you can live. And it's yours for the asking. And my prayer for you is this. Before you go to sleep tonight, and you lie in the bed, and you think about that path. God, I don't know where it's going to lead, but I want to be sure beginning right now, I step into your pathway. I want your best. Anything else would be less than what God has planned for your life. And Father, how grateful we are. You make it so simple, we make it so complicated. Sometimes it gets tough, and you know it does. You didn't say I would be with you in the good times. You didn't say I'll be with you most of the time. You said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Thank you for that. And I pray that for every person who hears this message, sees this photo, that you'll drill into their heart and soul that their loving Heavenly Father has the best, if they'll step onto His path. In Jesus' name, amen.
Dr. Stanley answers viewer email, coming up on In Touch.
Expand your collection of life principles to live by with Volume 5. Enjoy 5 messages and a bonus DVD.
God has blessed obedience. It is a principle of Scripture. It isn't just for biblical characters. It is just as true in your life and my life. When we obey God, God always blesses obedience without an exception.
To order Volume 5, call our toll-free number or go to intouch.org.
When a person realizes they're angry, they should ask the question, why am I angry? Am I angry because of the way somebody treated me? Am I angry because of the way I was brought up? Am I angry because I feel like I don't get the breaks in life? Am I angry at God?
In his book, Surviving in an Angry World, Dr. Charles Stanley gets to the root of anger. Discover the path to personal peace. Surviving in an Angry World. Call toll-free or visit intouch.org.
With TV and radio broadcasts in English, French, and Spanish, it's easy to find In Touch in North America. But how easy is it to find In Touch throughout the rest of the world? You've made it possible for In Touch Ministries to reach major populations and remote areas through over-the-air broadcasts and tools like the Messenger. In Touch Messengers are solar-powered audio devices that carry 35 life-changing messages in 9 languages. From India to South Africa and Romania to Brazil, the biblical teaching of Dr. Stanley is making an impact, even in countries that are closed to the gospel. In Touch exists to lead people worldwide into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. In keeping with that mission, new believers' kits have been developed in over 20 languages, making the truth of Christ available in a person's own language. As we seek the fulfillment of the Great Commission, your involvement with In Touch Ministries enables us to introduce new people into the family of God every day.
Did you know there are about 40,000 promises in the Bible? If you've ever doubted God's faithfulness, these promises show how He abundantly provides for His children. Even living in proximity to a man or woman of God can bring blessings to a person. In today's email, Jim asks how these blessings apply in an unequally yoked marriage. And the email reads, I have a friend who claims to be an atheist. He is married to a good Christian woman. I've read in Paul's letters that a non-Christian who's married to a believer is sanctified by the relationship. Would this make the non-Christian saved? Well, the answer is no. And I'd like to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul's answer to all this, beginning in verse 12. He says, But to the rest I say, not the Lord, that if any brother has a wife,
who is an unbeliever, and she consents to live with him, he must not divorce her. And the woman who has an unbelieving husband, and he consents to live with her, she must not send her husband away. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified through his wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified through her believing husband. For otherwise your children are unclean, but now they are holy. Yet, if the unbelieving one leaves, let him leave. The brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. Let me explain what he means by that. That is, in those days, this was a major problem in the church. People were being saved. Their husband or their wife was not saved. And so naturally there was conflict. And what Paul is saying in this passage is this, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, that not giving his own opinion here does not mean, for example, when he says, "But to the rest I say, not the Lord," here's what he's saying. Jesus never dealt with this issue. And you would think, well, probably he would have, but he didn't. There's no previous revelation. And so what he's saying is simply this. According to the principles of Scripture, a Christian wife does not need to be worried about whether she's defiled or not because she's married to a non-Christian. The very opposite is true. And that is that being married to a person who is a non-Christian, her very presence sanctifies that relationship, that home. That does not mean that the husband is saved because the wife is a Christian, but it means that that home is set apart because one of God's children is there. A home set apart for God. A family member is a Christian. That's what this is all about. One godly person in the family brings the blessing of God upon that family. That doesn't mean that the home is fully Christian, and it doesn't mean that one member graces the entire family to the point that the other is automatically saved. There is a godly influence there which may result in the other person being saved because of their godly life. There's no guarantee of salvation, but the unbelieving, willing to stay, says simply this, there's no reason to be divorced if the unbeliever is willing to continue to live with a person who's living a godly life. God has great commands for us in Scripture that deal with every aspect of life. This is one of those situations where Jesus didn't deal with it, but Paul did, and what he's doing is protecting the family. Well, thank you for joining us today for In Touch. And until next time, obey God, leave all the consequences to Him. That's living life at its very best.
To order a copy of today's message, call our toll-free number or visit us at intouch.org, where you can find more resources like Life Principle Notes to help you as you study. The notes are free at intouch.org. Touching the world with a passion for God and compassion for people. In Touch with Dr. Charles Stanley is a presentation of In Touch Ministries. This program is made possible by the grace of God and your faithful prayers and gifts.